Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. Thanks, Paul, for praying for that. Just want to make mention that we are going to be looking into, as a church, what we can do to help down there. This is going to be an ongoing effort down there for a long time, and I've already talked to someone about possibly heading up a team to go down there, maybe for a week. But definitely, at least financially, whatever. So just so you know, we're going to be looking into that and make sure we're working with a reputable organization that we know, so we know where. And we're kind of leaning towards Samaritan First. So just keep that in mind, okay? Possibly in the future, a possible actual trip down there. I was watching little bit of that today, and it really is devastating to these people. I don't know what that's like to lose everything. I know what it's like to walk away from everything. I've done that, but I don't know what it's like to lose everything and then not have the Lord in a way that you understand or have things in perspective. But I still believe it's still hard. I know we have a family here that kind of knows what that's like. Tornado took their home away. It kind of shakes you, rattles you. And my heart went out to those people on the screen. You could tell they are just utterly devastated. It is an opportunity for the Lord to reach these people, you know, because you realize, you know, what's this all about, life, because it can all be gone in a moment. So it really is an opportunity for the Lord to reach people down there. And obviously there's a lot of churches down there, and we need to be praying that God will just use his people to minister to those souls down there. For some reason, sitting in the back during worship, I sense God leading me a little different tonight. So I'm not feeling the study tonight. I'm just not. And something interesting happened tonight. Was moving me in a different direction. And then Frank got up and shared what the Lord was sharing through him. And it was kind of a confirmation to what I was sensing. So you learn to listen. You learn to be open to the Lord and not have an agenda, because sometimes God wants to do something different. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about, you know, what does it gain a soul to get everything this world has to offer, but yet lose their soul, and then talk about testimonies of how God rescues souls. And I'm going to mention something, and I hope this is okay. Brother, he's visiting. Anthony invited him. What's your name again?
Larry.
Well, Larry's got an interesting. I heard a little bit of your. So I'm going to just tell you something, all right? Tomorrow, I'm going with a state trooper to Bourbon County to a jail there, because he arrested a young man that led the state police on a wild car chase and involved a couple of counties. And just crazy. He robbed like four cars, and they'd run out of gas, he'd get another one, run out of gas, he'd get another one, and just went on this crazy thing. And so the trooper is Josh Witten, who comes to this church, and he says, yeah, I had to go down and interview this guy because it was such a crazy incident that happened. So he had to go down to Bourbon County to the jail and interview him. He says, well, I just felt led to start sharing the Lord with him. And the guy was really open to the Lord. And Josh said, hey, what if a minister would come and talk to you? Would you be open? He said, absolutely. So Josh called me and asked me if I would go down. I said, sure, if you go with me. I get to ride in the front of the cruiser, which is different. I've never done that. I've always been in the back seat. So I get to sit in the front. That's going to be pretty cool. But it's kind of interesting that you're here tonight, because you have a similar testimony, and we don't have to get into that. Long time ago, yeah. But God, you're here, and you're saved, and God rescued your soul. But he has a similar testimony. I'll just say that, back in the day. And it's actually quite famous, isn't it? Yeah. Right. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of that going on. People don't think about what they're doing. They don't think about the end of their choices. But God somehow sees our lives, and he somehow understands, like only he can, what's going on in someone's heart, and only he knows how to reach that person. And he orchestrates things. He sends people. He brings circumstances into our lives, because God is passionate about souls. I gave a talk about 2 years ago on the value of a soul. And that's what I was thinking about, standing back there, just the testimonies of how God has rescued souls. And I was thinking about a lot of you in this room, and I was thinking about this guy tomorrow that I'm going to go see, and that God loves this guy. And God is after his soul. And I'm believing God that he's going to move in that situation, and we'll pray for that. But I just want to talk about that a little bit, because we're going through a series with the church. We're looking at the book of Acts right now. And really, these seven messages we're going to be looking at, or we have looked at three so far, really has to do with the church and how God uses the church and his people to reach souls. Because really, that is our mission. That is the mission of the church. It's not to meet on Sunday morning and just have a nice place to gather and to meet people and have a nice little social club. The church has a mission from God. And every member of the church is part of that mission. And God calls every member of the church to be involved in the mission of rescuing souls. That's what it's all about. And the church really is just to equip us to do that. That's my job as a pastor. It's to look out for you. It's to shepherd you. It's to help you grow. But really, it's to equip you to go. And it's to help the body go and do what God intends for the body to do. And that's to reach out out there into the highways and byways and to snatch souls from the pangs of death, from the snare of the enemy that's entrapped them, and there's no way out for them but God. So that's what God is doing. That's what he's laid on my heart in these messages and just reading through the book of Acts, because it doesn't happen by human effort. It doesn't happen just by trying to convince people they need Jesus. It's a supernatural work of God. And when you read through the book of Acts, you see that. It's God working through people to reach souls. Now, when I think about souls and the value God places on souls, what you see with God is that he is willing to go to extreme lengths in order to save souls. And obviously, Jesus and what he did on the cross is God's answer to rescue souls. And it was extreme. More extreme, I think, than we even understand, really, when you read Philippians 2, and it talks about letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who considered it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he is God. He was God. He was enthroned in the heavens, but he didn't hold on to that. He willingly let it go. He came as a man, birthed into a humble existence as a servant. God becoming a servant. He became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In other words, this holy, pure God became guilty for us, because that was what the cross signified. It was the death of a criminal. And God became a criminal for us. And he was brutally beaten. He was brutally tortured. He suffered spiritual torment and brutality that no one on earth will ever understand, because every force from hell was unleashed upon him because he took what should have been ours. He experienced the separation that every soul will experience that doesn't put their faith in him. You understand, there's so much involved in the cross that it goes beyond human comprehension. That's why even the angels, it talks about, want to look into the depths. They don't even understand the depths of what God actually did to redeem souls. It's a powerful expression of God's love for us, for you, for souls. But I think for us, sometimes we don't value it the way God does. I know what helps me is remembering my own testimony. That's kind of what I was thinking about tonight. I'm sure your testimony. You think about where you were at. You remember how you used to think, the things you were doing, the darkness you were in. And you wonder even, God, how did you do that? God, how did you get me from where I was at? Because I was full of darkness. I don't even understand how you did that. It was an absolute miracle how you translated me from darkness to light. I remember these things. I remember the darkness. I remember what it was like to be bound by sinful desires, feeling like there was no hope or no way of getting free from them. I remember that. But I also remember when God broke those chains, when somehow he set me free from things that I never imagined I could be free from. I remember how somehow that darkness I lived in, that thought life that was just continually death, and he somehow broke into that and brought life and brought hope and brought meaning. It really is a miracle how God does that. But you know what? He used people that prayed for me. He used people that reached out to me. He used circumstances in my life. And I can look back, and you know what's cool is you can go all the way back to the apostles, and there's a chain of people that were willing to pay the price. People that understood what had happened to them, and they understood the value of a soul, and like Jesus, laid their life down so that others could be saved. Didn't Paul say that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, where he's talking about, you know, suffering and being hard-pressed, and then he's talking about, you know, I died daily so that the life of Christ could be manifested in me. When you understand the value of a soul and what God did for you, you embrace that. You lay your life down so that other souls can come into the kingdom of God. And I have people actually here tonight that did that for me. My wife, my sisters, they were there when I was in that darkness. People at the Church of the whatever it was called back then, Church of the Intercessor. People at Teen Challenge, ex-drug addicts that knew what it was like, that were there for us in the middle of the night, that were praying for us. But it really was God through those people. And I look back now and it's like, man, Lord, you were so involved in my life. And you used all these different people and things just to get a hold of me and you. And you, a lot, you guys have a testimony. You know what I'm talking about. So, what does God want to do with us? How does he want to use us to reach souls? What are we willing to go through so we can rescue maybe one soul through this local body? I want to talk about that tonight. Are we willing to pay the price? Because it costs something. It does cost something. And I want to open it up tonight, and I felt like I should do this tonight. And maybe we need to just think about, first of all, our own testimony. I want you to think about your testimony. All of you have one, most of you. Think about your testimony. Think about how God saved your soul. Think about it. Remember. Meditate on it. Think about the people, the ones you can remember that he used in your life. Think about the circumstances. You know, we forget sometimes. We lose sight of that. And we get all caught up in our lives in the world, and we lose sight of souls. So we have to remember, first of all, our own soul and the value God placed on it. Because if you don't understand that, you won't care much for the souls dying around you. They won't be of much value if you don't even value your own soul. So I want us to think about, how are we living now? The way we're living now, what value would be placed upon our souls with the decisions we make, with our time, with our resources, with all the things we do with our lives? What value are we placing on our souls and on other souls? Think about it. Think about what it cost Jesus. Think about it. Was it a little? Was it 50%? Was it 70%? Was it 90%? Was it 95%? Or was it 100% with Jesus? So I want to put out there something to consider. It's found in Psalm 39. And I guess, you know, this hurricane kind of reminds you of this. We have a picture in the back room there. Rose said to me earlier, we're going to have a wall of pictures of people that have passed away. And so there's a picture of the mechanic in there who just suddenly dropped dead of a heart attack. I think Richie was in his 40s. We had the service here for him. He died in Tim's arms across the street here. And then we had a few deaths after that. Gary just died and different ones. Then natural disasters happen. And you hear about, you know, a bunch of people just dying instantly. It reminds of this psalm. Psalm 39 and verse 46, verse 4, it says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. In other words, it can happen at any time. We should live that way, and we should live with the understanding that I want every second of my life to count for God and for his kingdom and for the rescuing of souls. I don't want to waste time because I don't know how much time I have. Help me, Lord, to know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days like hand breaths. My age is like nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. This psalm really is helping us to understand just how worthless this life is. See, there's no value really in the earthly life. The value is in the soul that lives forever. That's where our focus should be. That's where Jesus was constantly pointing us. That's where the scriptures are constantly pointing us to what's really important. And then it says Selah. In other words, we really need to think about that a lot. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. Boy, that one. We've had people, I don't know how many, drop out of counseling. Not because they didn't like what they were hearing, or it wasn't working, or, you know, I can come up with a lot. No, just because they're too busy. They can't get to their counseling appointments. Meanwhile, their life's falling apart. Their families are falling apart. But my job's really important. This is really important. That is really important. Doing this is really important. Things that really, in the long run, aren't going to mean anything. They busy themselves in vain. For what? What are we here for? Really, as children of God, what are we here for? To busy ourselves in this life? For vain things, things that don't mean anything? They busy themselves in vain. They heap up riches. And they don't know who's going to gather them. We just had a farmer die that I've known for years and years. And this guy has tons of land and tractors and all kinds of stuff. He has no kids, nothing. And I thought about that. All that stuff, all the things. He's got a nice three-wheel motorcycle in the garage, a nice car. He's got all, he's gone. It means nothing now. And from what I heard, I don't think he repented. I hope he did, but I don't know. You think it matters now to him? This is the stuff that bothers me. It disturbs me. This is the stuff that disturbs me. Well, this is what drives me. I think about these things. When I hear a natural disaster or death is what, that's where my mind goes immediately. The eternal souls. Because that's all that matters. And it stirs me and it gets me thinking about, what am I doing? Because we forget. These things remind us. But really, we shouldn't need a reminder. That's why being in the Word of God and in prayer and seeking God is so important every day. Because a couple of days without that, you are caught up in your life in this world. It just happens. And you lose sight of what's really important. That's why I keep harping on you guys. Be in the Word. Be in prayer every day. Be seeking God. Seek the things that are above. Redeem your time for God. You can't keep putting it off. You're not going to see right if you don't do that. And God will pass you by. We sang that song. Because you won't hear him. Amongst all the other noise and commotion and busyness in life, you'll miss God. You'll miss opportunities. Thank God for Josh. You know, he was sensitive. Because I know Josh. He seeks the Lord. State trooper, busy, got kids, but I know Josh. He's a seeker after God. He spends time with God. And he's open to God, and God uses him. Surely they busy themselves in vain. They heap up riches. They don't know who will gather them. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. In other words, Lord, my sights are fixed on you. My sights are fixed on you. And then in Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" What profit? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So what we have really is the world constantly bombarding us with the message. This is what it's all about. Now. Get what you can now. And it's coming at you in all different ways. All different ways. Even Christian voices, teachers, teaching us that somehow hope and peace can be found in the things of this world. No, because that can be taken away in an instant, like we see. That's why we're told, don't love the world, don't love the things of the world. It's passing away. Listen to Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 11. I'll start here in verse 23. He's not boasting here. He's really just testifying because they're accusing him. There's false teachers that have come in, and Paul's basically saying, are they ministers of Christ, really? Are they? He says, I speak of a fool, but I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So you stop there. That's a rough life. That's not everything going smooth at all, is it? Think about how uptight we get. It's hot in here tonight. I walked in today, it smelled like a sewer a little bit. There's something wrong every time it rains. Think about the things we complain about. Then consider this. But that's nothing. You know what? He's more burdened with inside. It's not that stuff. You know what it is? What comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. In other words, people. The burden he carried for people. That's what drove Paul. It was love. It was love. Not a sense of duty, not, you know, I got to burn out for Christ. No, he was compelled by love for souls. And he was willing to suffer. He was willing to go through no matter what to reach souls. That's what it was all about for Paul. And to glorify Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, he's talking about our earthly house or tent. He's talking about our body, really. He says, if it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. In other words, he's trying to say, you know, stop worrying about earthly things. Stop getting so caught up in preserving your life in this world. Think about all the stuff we do. Stuff we're willing to do for the natural. But Paul's saying, listen, we should be groaning for something else. He says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. He says in verse 4, because we who are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And he says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. In other words, God, through the Holy Spirit, has set eternity in your heart. Something in you now that causes you to groan. You know, this ain't it. I'm not made for this. I'm heading somewhere else. It's in you. And there's times where there is a little groaning inside. God, I can't wait till this is done away with. I can't wait, Lord, till I'm clothed with my new body from heaven. Can't wait, Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And then he talks about why we make it our aim, or should, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to the Lord, because one day we'll stand before him and we will give an accounting for our lives. We will. Now, am I worried I'm going to lose my salvation or something? No, I don't get too worried about that. But I do get concerned that it's possible I stand before God and realize at that moment how much more he could have got out of me. How much time I squandered. How many souls God could have use my life for, if I was just more available and more aware and willing to be used by him. I don't want to stand before him lacking. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I gave you a little and you did a lot with it. You multiplied what I gave. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what being about our Father's business is all about. It's about souls. It's about doing something with what's been given to us. And we will stand before him. I'll stop there. Because it gets scary. It can get a little scary. So I'll finish with this. A question. When's the last time you wept over someone's soul? Grieved inside. Felt the burden of God on your heart that led you to prayer or even just stepping out in a different way to reach someone. Think about it. See, when you've been truly saved and the Spirit of God is in you, there should be a willingness to give yourself away. Now, I understand we all lose sight of that. We get, like I said earlier, we get caught up in our lives in this world. It just happens. It happens to me. And that's what grieves me more than anything, is my lack of a burden. I know I'm not burdened the way I should be. And it's not God's fault. It's because I lose sight. It's because I'm not looking where I should be looking. Paul groaned to be with his God, but he also groaned for something else. And to me, Philippians 1 is a beautiful picture of what our lives should be while we're here. It's Paul struggling between two things. It's not what we typically struggle. You know, with me, it's the world. And I'm struggling with those. No, with Paul, it's two good things he's struggling with. And in verse 21, Philippians 1, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell, because I'm hard-pressed between the two. One, I have one desire. I just want to be with Jesus. I love him so much. He means so much to me. I just can't wait to see him face to face. My heart longs for the day where I'm just caught up with him forever and ever and ever. I yearn for that in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I just want to be out of here. I see what's going on in the world, and just, God, just get me out of here. Oh, I just want to be with Christ, which is far better. But then listen to what he says. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So in other words, really what I would like is to just be with Jesus. Go to heaven, get out of here, forget this world, and just be with Jesus forever. But you know what? If God needs me here, then this is where I'd rather be, if it means to help you and to be a blessing to you and to reach souls while I'm here. So that's his whole purpose in life. And that's what our purpose should be. Now, Paul worked on tents, made money, had to make money. He did some things. He was still in this world. He wasn't some weird spiritual guy walking around, "Hallelujah, Jesus, I'm in heaven, I'm in heaven." You know, you ever hear the phrase, "So heavenly Mari did something no earthly good"? No, he was a regular guy. This was something inside of him that he lived in, a passion to be with God and in love with God, but yet so involved in his earthly life pertaining to souls and people and doing life, but understanding it in its rightful perspective. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we got to work out for ourselves, and that's what God needs to help us with, because we are living in a day and age where the spirit of this world has suffocated the people of God. So we got to fight through that, people, as a body. We have to say, Lord, we're coming out. We're coming out. Like in the book of Revelations where he says, "Come out of her, my people." Yeah, it's time for us to come out of our lives in this world, because God has a mission for us. And we can't fulfill that mission if we're all caught up in our lives in this world. Now, are we going to muster that up and say, "That's it, I'm doing it. Come on, right, guys? Yeah." Good luck. That'll last a couple of days. For real. No, you just start seeking God. Just start seeking God. We were just talking about that today, walking over here. We can't drag you into that. You have to go after it. You have to start making choices. I have to start making choices. We have to start understanding the value of our soul and the value of other souls. And we have to start making decisions and choices to set our minds on the things above and not the things of the earth. And we have to encourage one another in that. That's what this is about. You understand? So we're going to have a time now of just sharing and prayer. And it may be some here need to repent. You know, just say, you know what? I need to get my eyes on the Lord. Well, we're going to pray with you. I want to pray for this guy. Actually, I'm going to have you pray for him, brother, because you understand where he's at. He's sitting in jail right now, and he's thinking about things. And I felt like you should pray for him, pray for me, pray for Josh. So go see him. But let's just take some time, okay? And just pray and time of sharing. I want us to get used to this, bearing our hearts to one another. It's a good thing. Listen, your pastor ain't no superstar. My wife just left. I'm not. I'm just like you. Okay? We're not trying to be something here. I try to be as real as I can with you, sometimes to a fault. But it's not about having an image and, you know, pretending like, you know, we're it. We're in with God. We're doing good. No, we're not always doing good. We get off track. We need to confess to one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. But how do we do that if we don't know what's going on with you? So when God's speaking to you, or we're having a time like this where we're looking at scripture and things, this is a wonderful opportunity to just get real and say, you know what, I need prayer. You know what, I don't know what I'm thinking about. I've lost sight of souls the way I should see them, and you know, I need help, man. I need prayer. I need a plan. I'm thinking about starting something with the guys. Start meeting with the guys. I talked to Tim about it today, and I told him we're going to get in shape physically and spiritually, because we need to take care of ourselves physically, because that ties in with your spiritual life. It all ties in together. I want to be here for a while if it's God's will, but that's not just an automatic. He's given me stewardship over this body. I want to be healthy so I can minister. So we might start that, and we're going to have a Bible study. And we're going to talk about things of God in our lives as men and how God wants to use us. So I just want to open it up now. You understand, I'm winging this tonight. I'm just trusting the Lord. So anybody want to share maybe something God's speaking to you through this or whatever? Anybody? And that's a good way, instead of, you know, maybe doing something where, hey, you want to hang out tonight? Hey, let's go to the park and let's witness to some people. Let's talk to some kids down there. You know, so there's something we can do with our time, right? Anybody else?
I know I need to say something because of like my heart.
Yeah.
That comes out of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of me feels like, well, that's just something up here with the community and God and other tents and that, you know, and my family. And then, but this is my family. And you don't need to be aware of it because when I'm not submitting to the Lord, when I'm trying to be in control of everything, I'm not being all that I can or need to be for this family. I don't know why I keep thinking I can get through each day and be a good person within myself. I know that I need God. I need to spend that time with God to get my mind right, to just be in the right spirit.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, it's just He's showing me how nasty I can be. And I mean, He's brought me to this point. I have no option. But I keep trying to fight it. Just having problems with trying to be in control of everything and not submitting. I need prayer for that. I need help with that.
Anybody else? Yeah, Jeff. No, Jeff. Did you put your hand up?
Yeah, I did.
80%, 80%. And what did Jesus say to us? Count the cost. And I think a lot of times the problem is, you know, we say the sinner's prayer and all that, but we haven't counted the cost. We really, and we haven't been taught what that actually means. To give your life to Christ. That kind of happened to me. And then you go on for year after year not experiencing really what the gospel truly does in your life and how it should manifest itself in your life. And it really does come down to surrender everything. I mean, you can't hold back anything with God. And once you make that surrender, I'm telling you, God takes over. I don't know how else to say it. But He takes over, and then there's something there that wasn't there before. Right. And that's that whole idea of you humble yourself, and then the grace of God. Remember, we talked about that Sunday. The grace of God was upon them. And it was because they were done. They were done. And we got to be done, people. We got to be done with doing it our way in our life and what we want. We got to be done with that. And say, God, what do you want to do? Here we are. Just use us, Lord. I'm telling you, and that's what He's working into this body. That's what He's doing. And when we get to that place where we're finally letting go of it, watch what He does. But you got to start taking these steps towards Him. You got to start taking these steps. And we got people out of that. That's what's so cool is, you know, so many of you are stepping up and coming alongside others, and that's what you need, because there's weaker ones, there's others that are a little further along, and you get alongside them, and hey, this is how you do it, and you walk the person through it. That's what discipleship is. So we're not going to let people straggle off on their, is that the right word? We're not going to have stragglers. We're not going to let you do that here. We love you too much. God loves you too much. And He's got so much more for you. Yes, dear.